Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Good morning, Calvary. Summertime is here. We are excited about it. We want to welcome all of you that are joining us online today on our online campus. Also, those of you that have come today maybe to see your kids or your grandchildren. Didn't they do a great job today? These guys are just unbelievable. Yeah. Now, that's a good hand clap, but I want you to give a bigger one, and I'll tell you for who. Pastor Mark and his team, our interns at the church, every one of you that volunteered, people took vacation time this last week to serve and to love on your kids. People took time off work to make it happen. They were here every single day. This place was packed with a couple of hundred kids, and it's so incredible to see this generation stepping out for Christ. I've said it many times before, I will say it many times again, that at Calvary we are proud to champion the next generation of young students, of older students, to give them a platform to express themselves, to use their gifts, and to roar, just to let it go. I got my roar glasses on today to represent. And so we're proud of them, and I hope you are too. This church is a multicultural and an intergenerational church, which means that from the youngest to the oldest, we're all cheering them on, and we're all standing in their corner. So it was an exciting week. So one more time for Pastor Mark and all his team, big round of applause. Yeah. Well done. Today we kick off a brand new series, a summer speaker series. You're going to hear from some people that I love, that Susan and I are very close to, people that have a big heart for the local church, that love God, that love our nation. And so today we're kicking it off with one of the best, somebody that we love, who's very close to us. Pastor Gerald Kendrick is the lead pastor of City Church in Halifax, Nova Scotia. They also have a radio station there at the church. He and I, when we gave our hearts to the Lord, went to the same Bible college. I spend a lot of time at his house, sometimes to hang out with him, but sometimes to get close to his sister. And so it worked out well for me, right? And it's always wonderful when family is in town. So put your hands together one more time and welcome Pastor Gerald Kendrick to the stage.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here at Calvary Church. And I want you to know City Church in Halifax is praying for you, so keep us in your prayers. I love the music. Thank you, Heather and the team, for all the great, wonderful music. It's like a Hillsong concert, a Hillsong worship conference here. Now, to be truthful, I've never actually been to a Hillsong worship conference, but if I was to imagine what it would be like, this is what it would be like. So you're very, very blessed. And so they're giving me the tour, they're showing me everything around, and God's leading us at home into a new direction because God wants what's best for all of us. Amen? What I'm talking about today is I'm talking about what's better. What's better? Do you all think about what's better? What's better in your life? I mean, what's better, Tim Hortons or Starbucks? Right? I mean, what's better? You all have your opinion. What's better, PC or Mac? What's better, PS4 or Xbox? What's a better candy, M&M's or Skittles? Because, I mean, M&M's melt in your mouth, but not in your hand. But Skittles is supposed to be tasting a rainbow. So what's better, clean hands or tasting a rainbow? I don't know. What's better? Here's the ultimate question, especially in my generation growing up, Coke or Pepsi? Right? The Coke or Pepsi. Who says Coke? Coke people. Who says Pepsi? Who doesn't care? All right. You know, the Coke and Pepsi companies, they spend billions of dollars on advertising to get you to choose Coke or Pepsi. I go to a restaurant. I say, I'll have a Coke. They say, we only have Pepsi. I'm like, okay. That's what billions of dollars of advertising will get you. Yeah, whatever, man. I don't care. Just bring me something. Make sure it's fizzy. We want what's better. Better's more important to us. When you go to buy Tylenol, do you buy regular Tylenol or extra strength Tylenol? Because isn't extra better? I mean, isn't it? Why would you settle for less pain relief? Why would you do that? I remember Jerry Seinfeld said one time, he says, find out what will kill me, back it off a little bit, and give me that. That's what I want, because more pain relief is better. The word better is a part of our everyday life vocabulary. I want a better car because I want better gas mileage. When I watch the news, I want to be better informed. The bigger the better, the sooner the better, but better late than never. Better safe than sorry, and better you than me. And when me and my wife have a disagreement, I appeal to my better half. Because we're together, better or worse. Gentlemen, never make fun of your wife's decisions. You are one of them. I stole that from Bishop McDonald. I stole that joke from Bishop McDonald. And he was at our church. We think newer is better. When the new cell phone comes out, who wants to get that new cell phone, right? Who has an iPhone? Who has a Samsung? Are there any BlackBerry people left in the world? BlackBerry people? And I do commend you, BlackBerry people. You're very firm with your convictions. You do not just fly by the wind. But you know, it wasn't too long ago we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have phones at all. You actually went outside and talked to your neighbor. That's what you did to have a conversation. But then the phones weren't. Who remembers the rotary phone? Then we got push button. Things got better, and we got push button phones. Then we got party lines. We got call waiting. We got caller ID. Things got better and better. Cell phones with cameras. Cell phones with internet. Cell phones with apps. So we can text in very important messages like SUP. S-U-P, SUP. Or watch cat videos, because that's why the internet was invented, apparently, to watch funny cat videos. What about movies? Movies get better and better. Used to be movies didn't have sound. You'd go watch a silent film and someone would play an organ in the corner while you watched a silent film. But movies got better and they became talking pictures, and then they got better and there was Technicolor. They got better and the sound became stereo and it then became THX surround. Things got better and now the pictures are digital. And most movies now are 3D and you got to pay more money, but more is better. 3D is better. My wife loves to watch romantic comedies. She likes to watch romantic comedies, but you want to know what's better than watching a romantic comedy? Living a real-life romance with your wife. That's better. Not so long ago, there were no TVs. People used to sit around and listen to a radio. Then things got better. Then somebody in the neighborhood got a black-and-white TV, and you wish that they'd come over and watch it with you. They'd invite you over. But then TVs got color. TVs got bigger. We got widescreen TVs, LCD TVs, plasma TVs, high definition, 3D TVs, 4K and 8K TVs. And we'll say, look at that beautiful sunset on my 8K TV. Look how beautiful that is. But do you want to know what's better than an 8K sunset on your TV? A real sunset. That's what's better. When you experience a real sunset for yourself, one on TV will never compare. People used to go on vacation, and then you know what they do? They'd come back from vacation, and they'd try to describe it to you. And you'd be like, I can only imagine what it would be like to be on vacation at that place. But then things got better, and they would send a postcard with one picture. And you could see, wow, look at the palm trees in the pool. Then things got better and you could take your own camera. And there was a thing inside the camera called film. And you could take the film and wait a week to have it developed. And then show all your friends. And then things got better. And you could double your prints for a dollar. I mean, you double your prints for a dollar. And then you had 2 cents. So you could give one to the grandparents. Then things got better and everything started going digital. And you could have your digital phone. Then things got better and now you've got your phone and it can take everything. And now there's free Wi-Fi. And now people are FaceTiming you while they're on vacation complaining, it's too hot. It's just too hot. It's too hot and wonderful here. I'm having too much fun. You know what's better than you looking at somebody sitting under a palm tree, you sitting under a palm tree. I don't want to see pictures of someone on a vacation. I want to go on vacation. We all want the better life. Years ago, there was a video game. It's called Guitar Hero. Do you ever remember Guitar Hero? See, in your house somewhere, there is a toy plastic guitar, and it's sitting in the corner gathering dust. And you as a parent spend hundreds of dollars on this, and the kids don't care. All right? But at the time, Guitar Hero was it. You had a plastic toy guitar. It had a red button, a green button, a yellow button, and whatever else. And when the screen on the video told you, hit the red button, you hit the red button. When it said, hit the green, you hit the green. And they're like, look how awesome I am, a Guitar Hero. You want to know what's better than playing a toy plastic guitar? Playing a real guitar. Now, one time I was preaching that, and I said, you know what's better than playing the guitar? And one of the kids from the youth group yelled out, playing the drums! I'm like, well, I can't. I'm not going to argue with that. God wants to use your gifts and talents not only for you to have the better life, but God wants you to minister to someone else so that they too can have a better life in Jesus. Amen? One time, my wife and I were invited to go to a barbecue, and she was explaining to me, she works for the airline, and she was explaining to me, everybody at this barbecue is not going to be saved. We're probably going to be the only ones who know Jesus. So there's going to be some beer drinking, and there's going to be probably some language, because there are certain people in the office, she was telling me, that cannot talk without cursing and swearing. Do you know anybody like that? Do you have some friends like that? You won't admit it, because you're all so holy, but yes, we have friends that curse and swear sometimes that we are praying for. So I show up, and I know how this is going to go. And I show up with my wife, and she's off talking to her friends, and I go, well, where are the guys? They're all hanging out by the barbecue. So I walk out with my Pepsi or Coke. It doesn't matter to me. And I walk out on the back, and there is a guy barbecuing, and he's like, bleeping, bleeping government. Oh, that bleeping government, and bleeping, bleeping, bleeping. I'm like, and he's like, ah, bleep, bleep that bleep. And he looks at me, so, what do? I said, I'm a pastor at a church. And he says, oh, bleeping pastor, I'm sorry. Oh, I did it again. I can't stop. I don't normally bleep and talk like this. And I'm like, it's okay, man. It's all right. My name's Gerald. So we walk in. I walk inside, and I notice, because we were talking about playing a real guitar, I notice there's a guitar in the corner of the room. There's a signature on it. So the lady who I've just met who owns the home, I'm trying to connect and find something to talk about. And I'm like, I play guitar and sing. She goes, I sing too. I sing all the time. I'm like, what kind of music do you like? She's like, I really like country music. I said, so you play the guitar? She goes, oh, no, I don't play it. I don't know how to play. But I was in Nashville, and I went to see a Loretta Lynn concert. Who knows who Loretta Lynn is? Who has no idea what I'm talking about? You millennials. So I say, can I pick it up? I have to tune it. I tune it quick. And I said, you want to sing a song? She goes, well, I don't know if you know the songs I know. And I said, let me sing one out and let's just see. So I start singing, can I get a hallelujah? Can I get an amen? Feels like the Holy Ghost going through you when you play the Highway FM. And she, I know that. I know that song. It's top 10, right? A couple years ago. And I'm saying, she goes, you sing a lot in church and stuff. Like I said, yeah, you must know this one. Everybody knows this, whether you go to church or not. I start going, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And she comes in with a harmony part, saved a wretch like me. And there's the two of us in her living room. And we finish off with, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And there was silence in the room. And the guy in the back yells, bleeping, bleeping, that's good singing. I'm like, yeah. God just wants to use you in simple ways to bring God in. Everybody say, my Christianity, not about me. God wants you to have a better life, but part of that better life is helping other people have the better life in Jesus. You know what's better than seeing other people be used of God? You being used of God. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, 17, he said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You see, many kids, one of the things I've noticed growing up in the years in some of my generation and beyond is that grandma would stand up and say and tell her stories about her God experience. And then maybe Uncle Bob or Mom or Dad would stand up and they'd talk about their God experience. But the children never had their own God experience. That's why when I see these kids lining up here and singing these songs and doing these things, they're getting their own God experience. You know I'm serious when I'm preaching. When the like the $6 million man, Oscar Goldman, but Steve. That's when you know when I'm preaching serious. What's better than listening to somebody else's story about their God experience? You having your own God experience. I have a twin brother, and we were all in elementary in every class together. My mother was a substitute teacher, and she'd be in teaching. We'd wait for her to finish her class, and then we'd go home together. So we're in the parking lot, and we're throwing a ball back and forth. So I'm like this, go, go, deep, deep. And he's like, and I'm like, deeper, deeper, deeper. And he's like, and then he doesn't look where he's going, and he runs into a parked truck. So there's a parked truck, and he just runs and bounces off. It falls down, and he starts to cry. I panic. I run in to my mom's class, and I scream, Mom, Mom, Greg just got hit by a truck. Now, how many of you know there's a difference between running into a parked truck and getting hit by a moving truck? This is what I'm trying to say. There's a difference, a big difference, between just hearing about God and experiencing God for yourself. You can come to church every week and still not experience God the way you long to experience him. There's an important story in the Bible. It's mentioned in Matthew 9, Mark 5, and Luke 8. The story is about a woman who needed healing. She was sick. She had a problem with her blood. And the Bible tells us in Luke that Jesus was making his way through the crowd. But here's the thing about this story. This woman, she didn't want to just hear about Jesus. She didn't want to just see Jesus. She had to touch Jesus. She had to experience Jesus for herself. It wasn't enough that some lepers got healed over here and some people got fed over there and Jesus was nice to them and Jesus did something for them. It wasn't enough to just hear about Jesus and see it. She wanted to experience it. And when she reached out and she touched his coat, she was healed. And she had a God experience. When I was in Bible school, I heard many stories from different teachers and preachers about God and how God was using them to touch lives. And I said to God, I want my own God stories. We were at a prison ministry one time, and we were ministering to the inmates. We'd sing songs, and we'd have chapel. And then we'd get time to sit down and talk with them about God. So I was talking to one guy about Jesus. And he's like, well, I don't know. Why would God want me? I've done bad things, and God won't forgive me. And I said, he loves you. He cares for you. He can give you a better life. Then the bell rang. And when the bell rang, that meant over. The guards were coming in, and they had to go back to their cells. So I panicked, and I said to them, well, do you want Jesus or what? And that's what 4 years of Bible school will get you. Do you want Jesus or what? And you know what he said? Yes. He said yes, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And God used me to do it. You don't have to be a fancy speaker for God to use you. Touch a life. When I left being a youth pastor and I moved back to Halifax, I didn't have a job. So I got a job selling credit cards on the phone. So maybe I called one of you and I tried to convince you to switch to Capital One. If you hung up on me, I forgive you. Christian, I forgive you. But I had a buddy who was a Christian, and he sat next to me. He's actually the guy who helped me get the job. And the computer system all went down. And so we just started talking about church, and hey, what's coming up at church? And this is events coming up, and we started talking about God. And then someone on the other side of the cubicle started to fight with me. You're talking about your loving God. God's not a God of love. God doesn't love. And I'm like, what? And her name was Donna, and she began to tell me about her life. Parents, bad relationship. She was in a bad relationship. She had a disease, an incurable blood disorder of some kind, and same as the woman in the story. And I'm like, well, the Bible doesn't say that God hates you. He loves you. God's not a God of love. But don't get me wrong, she said, I believe in the spiritual world. I'm like, what do you mean? She says, well, I have a Ouija board, and I use my Ouija board. I use it to talk to my dead relatives from beyond the grave. I talk to my dead grandmother from beyond the grave. And I said, listen, you shouldn't get messed up in that stuff. John 10:10 says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give you life, and you may have it more abundantly. And what's a more abundant life? It's a better life. It's a better life. Well, the computer systems came back up, and they're pretty strict, so we went back to work. Now, the next day I came in, wasn't feeling the best. And she came up to me, she started to tease me a little bit. She had this necklace, and she had all these symbols. She had a cross on the necklace. She had a Buddha on the necklace. She had a hand with an eye, which I think is part of fortune telling and stuff. She had that on there. She had all these different, she had an ankh, she had all kinds of different pentagram, she had all kinds of different symbols, and some of them I didn't even know what they were. And she said, I got all the religions and all the beliefs, so no matter which one's right, I'm covered. That's what she said. And I said, well, you know, and I just kind of said it half-hearted because I wasn't feeling the best. And I just kind of said, you know, Donna, the Bible says there's only one God. And as soon as I said it, all the symbols of the necklace fell off, except the cross was the only one left. And I bent down, and I picked up a bunch of the symbols, and I looked, and I could see the gold rings were totally unbroken, totally perfect. And I started to go, and she was like, and I said, told you, there's only one God. And she grabbed them out of my hand. She stepped back and she said, you're spooky. And I'm standing there, you're the one who talks to your dead relatives from beyond the grave, but I'm the spooky one. I'm the spooky one. You know, she stopped using that Ouija board, gave her life to Jesus. Gave her life to Jesus. Even the next day at work, she was so freaked out, she showed up the next day with a Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant CD. She's like, I'm listening to Christian music now. I'm listening to Christian music. Nothing can substitute you knowing and hearing from God yourself. She heard me talk about God, but then God gave her a God moment, and she experienced something supernatural for herself, and it changed her life, a better life. There was a girl I met after a youth service, and she was involved in the satanic church. She wouldn't come forward to accept Jesus, but she met me in the hallway. And in the hallway, she came to me and she said, and she wouldn't look at me. You said it's about Jesus and he loves and wants to forgive us. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. And what's she talking about? And she said, well, I don't know. I'm like, what aren't you telling me? She goes, I was involved in the satanic church. I worshiped the devil. I did horrible things. God can't forgive me. God can't love me. And only just because I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to do it, I wouldn't normally grab somebody's head. But I grabbed her head, and I forced her to look at me. And I said, Jesus loves you as much as he can love you. It's the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give you life and that you might have a better life. She gave her heart to the Lord Jesus and left the satanic church. There was a young lady who came up one time to receive Christ. She was a stripper. She was at the local strip club. She received Jesus in her life, but life's tough. She got strung out on cocaine. Jumped out a three-story window. The family called me in to go pray with her because they said she's going to die. She broke so many bones. She couldn't speak. Her eyes were open, and it was just freaky. She was like in bed like that, strapped down. It was the power of God. My wife was on one side, and I was on the other side of the bed, and my wife just held her hand and started to pray. And I went down by her ear, and I said, your story can't end this way. God has a better plan for you. And I know you can't talk, but I believe you can hear me. I'm saying, we're praying this prayer again together. And I said, devil, she's not going to die. She's going to live. She's got a 2-year-old son. See, it's the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But it's Jesus who comes to give you life. And that you can have a better life. I came in 2 weeks ago. A friend of mine rushed to the hospital, believing it was a heart attack. They didn't know what was going to happen. I went into that hospital room, and he says, I've been here for days, and I can't get any tests done. They don't know what's wrong with me, and I can't get any tests done because they're too busy. And I said, well, we're going to pray. He said, but I clutch my Bible every night. Doesn't come to church. He says, but I clutch the Bible that someone gave me every night. And I said, well, we're praying you're going to get those tests and you're going to get them done right away. First thing tomorrow morning, you're going to get all those tests done. And he said, well, I'm just praying for whatever God's best is, whatever God's best. And when people say that, they really don't know what God's best is. And I said, I'll tell you what God's best is. It's Jeremiah 29:11. For God has plans for good and not for evil. To give you a life, to prosper you and to bless. I told him John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus come to give you abundant life. What's abundant life? It's a better life. And his daughter, his teenage daughter was there, and his teenage son and my son, and we all joined hands, and I just started to pray, God, no one's getting sick in Halifax until Daryl gets all his tests. We're not praying anything bad on anyone. I'm praying good for the city. And first thing tomorrow morning, he's going in for all the tests. And he started to cry, and his daughter was crying. And then guess who got a text message the next day at 8 a.m.? They're taking me in. They're taking me in. It's all because of your prayers. I remember before I left, I laid my hands on his chest and I said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. And 2 days later, who is sitting next to their friend Daryl in the hot sun by a nice cool pool? This guy. You want God to use you today. If you want to experience God for yourself, the better life of helping somebody else have a better life, stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet right now in this place. My prayer for you today is Ephesians 3:19. May you be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, because more of God is better. I pray today that you and God will have a wonderful adventure telling people about his love and revealing the truth. That it's the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give you life, a better life, an abundant life. And I pray that your children and your grandchildren won't just hear stories about God from the past, but they'll experience the power of God for themselves today. God is not the great I was, and he's not the great someday I will be. He's the great I am. Wasn't too long ago, I took my teenage son to his first youth conference. We don't have youth at our church. We're waiting for God to do a miracle. And I took him, and I sat up in the balcony with all the other parents. We're pointing out which kids are ours. And for the first time, I saw my son go forward and answer the call of God, praying with his friends. It was the first time I saw him lift his hands in praise. It was the first time I saw him, it's like the kind of, you know, Christian hop, but he was dancing before the Lord. The first time, and I sat and I cried and I bawled like a baby. And I went up to the youth pastors and the senior pastors of the church afterward, and I shook their hands and I gave them a hug. And I said, thank you for giving my son an opportunity to have a God moment today. You know what's better than you hearing me talk about my God stories? You having your own God stories yourself. Everybody say this: my availability gives God an opportunity to do a miracle. You make yourself available. You take care of God's business. He'll take care of your business. You want a better life? Make someone else's life better, because you reap what you sow. Give and it shall be given unto you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, as I close, we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. How many of you put salt on your food? Why? Because it's better. Doctor says you shouldn't, but it tastes better. How many put ketchup on your potatoes? You know you shouldn't, but it tastes better. That's what Jesus was saying. The world should be better with people like you and me who love Jesus in their lives. Everybody say, I'm a child of God. Things are better when I'm around. I want you to live the better life. Do it by making someone else's life better. Amen? Live the God adventure this week. Live the God adventure. Thank you so much, Calvary Church. Thank you so much. God bless.